Thank you, Lord. And Father, once again, as we gather around your word, we thank you for this promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in our midst. We invite your presence as we open our hearts so you may speak to us. We ask and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning. It's been a very cold morning, but it's great that we are gathered in God's house. I'm going to share with you a sermon that was originally intended for the 11:30 service. 11:30 service going through a series based on the book of Philippians, right? So a bit different from all our other services going through because of Lent season. We're going through this series with Jesus. So if you can just bear with that and trust it's still God's word, and I trust that you'll hear something from the Lord this morning. So, there you are. I'm going to jump right into the book of Philippians. The letter of Paul to Philippians, one of the many letters in the New Testament that's written from prisons. That's a good reminder, right? That a good part of our scripture were written in prison. And Paul was in incarceration. He didn't have his freedom. He was in prison. And from there, he talked about the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11 must be one of the most beautiful passage in the New Testament. I know it because it was my wedding text. When we got married, there was a text I chose. It's a beautiful text of how you should be humble towards each other, to put the interests of others above yourself, because our Lord Jesus did that. And though he was God, he did not count himself worthy. He emptied himself and he died on the cross for our sake. And so it's a powerful message, sometimes shared during a Good Friday. And it's from that passage now Paul flows to our responsibilities. From talking about the salvation or the freedom that God has have given to us, he now move on to talk about our responsibility. And the second half of Philippians is on that, about how do we respond to the grace that God has freely given to us. It was George Bernard Shaw who said, liberty means responsibility. And this is why most men dread it. Are you ready for this one-liner? You have probably heard it before. The next slide. The next one, I think. Sorry, the next one. The next one, yeah. Remember this statement? Remember, with great power comes great responsibility. Who is that? Uncle Ben. That's what Uncle Ben told Spider-Man. But actually, this phrase was first quoted in the French National Convention in 1973. And since then, actually, many prominent leaders like Lord Melbourne, Winston Churchill, Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, they've made similar statements like this. Actually, our Lord Jesus has said something that's somewhat similar as well. To him who much is given, much is expected. So with that freedom comes, of course, responsibility. And so that's where we are in Philippians chapter 2 as Paul moves on from verse 12 onwards. That's what we are looking at. And the first thing I want to say is that we are responsible, of course, first to ourselves. So verse 12 says, therefore, so you have the word therefore, right? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Thank you. Yeah, it's up there. For it's God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Paul starts by saying, the first thing you need to be responsible to is yourself. It's like when you boarded a plane, right? And the first thing you encounter is the briefing on emergency, what you need to do. And of course, that's where you switch off, right? Go to sleep, right? But if you recall, the stewardess will always tell you the first thing you do with emergency, you draw the gas mask on yourself first, and then you tend to your children, right? A dead parent is no use to dependent children. So you first take care of yourself so that you can also be responsible to those around you. And here St. Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 12. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, St. Paul did not say work for your salvation with fear and trembling. And we know that the salvation of Christ comes to us by grace. We don't work for our salvation. Paul has said that very clearly, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that we are saved by grace, not by works. But we are to work out this salvation that we already possess. But we are to work it out with all seriousness, with fear and trembling. Something that we already possess, but now we are working up, fully realizing it, guarding it. Not flippantly, but to take it, do it with all seriousness. I came to the Lord Jesus 1st of May 1976. Wow, this is quite a long time ago. So you can guess how long I've been a Christian, right? And since then, brothers and sisters, I've been working out what it means to be a Christian. 23 years ago, I believe, I got married. 23 years ago? Yes. I'm not very good at moving numbers, you know. So anyway, and we're still working it out, the full implication, the full blessing of something that we already possess. Very recently, Jennifer, one of the singers, I'll leave you to guess who she is, said, "You don't seem to have any friends." Now, this is a job hazard, you know. As a clergy, because we keep shifting from parishes to parish, and unless you're very intentional to keep up with your friends for your previous parish, very often you have to make new friends. In St. Andrew's Cathedral, it gets even harder because I'm floating from services to service. So she noticed, "Terry, you don't have any friends." But we are so at the stage now where we are going through the emptiness, in a sense. Though one of the daughters to stay with us, but she's so busy architecture, we don't even see her. You know? Sometimes the whole day will pass and she'll be just locked up doing a project because our older daughter is overseas. So it's emptiness. So we are finding us, and she, of course, sort of lost the close connection with her close friends back in the previous parish. So we find out now ourselves in the bubble, right? And so we're spending a lot of time with each other. So discovering again the joys of marriage at this season of our life, the friendship in Christ. And so we are working out our salvation, not with fear and trembling, but with some degree of seriousness, of course, yeah, but enjoying the fruits of our marriage. And so here St. Paul is saying we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and not suggesting if we come to worship, we should tremble. Why are you trembling? "Oh, Pastor, because the St. Paul said, you know, fear and trembling." It means don't be flippant. It means to take it seriously. What God has given to you in Christ. When I first came to the Lord at the age of 13, whenever I sin or fall, I used to think one of the worst things you experience is guilt. Right? Because you're young. You're not thinking of life. It is always complexity. And so you ask for forgiveness. But as I grow older, I realize that sin has serious consequences. That if Christians take for granted what Christ has done for us, there can be serious wreckages. Not just in the life to come, the second death, that we should always be more worried about, more concerned about, but even this life, there can be very serious consequences. And I should know, as a pastor, more than anybody else, having counseled, having seen our families' lives, even personal lives, even those who are not married, their own personal lives, locked in grief and pain, because of some wreckages. Even here in the cathedral, I want you to know, there are those who are coming out from addiction to drugs. And there's a very, very serious problem today, where drugs come in all very newer, more attractive forms, seemingly harmless, colorful pills, right? And some even Christians get themselves caught. wreck their own lives. That's what St. Paul here is saying. We need to work out our salvation, brothers and sisters, with fear and trembling. In other words, with a deep sense of responsibility. And here St. Paul says, continue in it. Not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. And St. Paul is trying to say, as you know, he lived in those days where he cannot be present very often among those he loved. Very often, his presence with them was only for a short time. Absence means for the rest of their lives. St. Paul may never be able to see them again, especially, and he knew, as was in prisons, that his days are numbered. In other words, long term, for the future, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. That's often our prayers for Alpha graduates, right? Recently, we, at a baptism course, confirmation course, it's joy to see the Alpha graduates are coming through to the point of commitment. What's our prayer for them? That it'll be long term. Not just at the beginning, not just when we're all together. The Alpha course, of course, always exciting, you know, and there's a great deal of excitement. And a person starts off his faith with a bang, but it's our prayer. In the silence and loneliness for long-term life as they journey with Christ, that they will continue to be faithful. And it's amazing here, in this set of verses 12 and 13, verse 13, Paul says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure, because He loves you. Because He chosen you, He loves you, He's going to work in you." And so there you are, you work it out, yet at the same time, God working in us. Isn't that wonderful? You're not alone. You're working our salvation. God is constantly at work in us, working out His purpose. We're not alone in ministry. I can still recall just recently, just reflecting again, when the first call to ministry came in the form of prophecy from a pastor who hardly knew me. He was a New Zealander, a pastor with a prophetic gift. And they said, "The Lord has called you into the ministry. As you run this race, be comforted because His grace, His moral strength will go with you." And the first thing I was anxious as a Christian then, as the Lord, I sense the Lord is calling into ministry, and I feel that, but I'm so inadequate. And the Lord says, "I will help you." And as I look back these last 30 years or so in ministry, indeed, His grace has been at work in me. Or else I cannot do what has called me to do. All right? Some of you may not know, but I'm actually quite the introvert. You know, sometimes when I spend time with people, I need to rest. So I lock myself in the office. Sometimes Leung Kwan will know that. Because I get exhausted, you know. And in cathedral especially, all kinds of people come to you because you wear kirtle collar, you see. And so sometimes you walk out, someone comes to you and say, "Hey, I'm trying to get my baptism cert," or "I'm trying to get this and that," you know. So you ambush all the time, right? So, but sometimes you're exhausted after preaching. You just want to go and hide, right? So I always wonder, "Lord, why you called me to be a pastor?" And I suddenly realize that His grace has enabled me these last 30 years. It's the Spirit who carries me. And sometimes we face up to our mortality, right? Our physical limitation. Now, please pray for Deaconess Bessie. From time to time, she suffers from vertigo. Right now, I used to think vertigo, yeah, so what, right? Until I experienced it myself. I think I may have told you the story, right? I really felt I was dying. It was because of viral infection, so it wasn't an ongoing condition. But I was vomiting all over the place. I was in a friend's place. I was in sabbatical then. And I really thought I'm passing away, you know. And I really experienced my own mortality. So do keep Sister Bessie in prayer. But brothers and sisters, what would it may be? Well, be physical limitation, emotional limitation, right? I pray for your pastors and deacons. We are not gods. We are just very, very, very human. We are very human. Our own emotions, our own fears, our own physical, emotional, psychological limitations. But this wonderful promise that God is at work in you, God is at work in me. Amen. So, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Secondly, responsibility to society, a responsibility to the world. And this set of verses, in verses 14 to 18, a flash for us, thank you. And Paul starts off by saying, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted or perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I find it very interesting that St. Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And they outline not so much a course of action, but the kind of action. He did not outline a rule of life, but calls us to be a sort of person. A person of a certain kind, which is blameless, innocent, and without blemish. He focused not on social involvement, but on social contrast. That in a crooked and perverse generation, we may shine our light. And the first thing he says, without grumbling or disputing. And I believe that nowhere does the self-centeredness of men take control more quickly than when it moves into a state of criticism and judgment over and against our own self-interest. And I'm sure this morning, those of you who drive to the cathedral, some of you may be complaining, right? Because the east lawn car park is closed, right? So as you make your way in, you're not thinking about, hey, the East Coast car park lawn needs to be repaired from time to time, and that this is also affecting all of us, not just some of us. But you're thinking of yourself. You're right as a driver to a car park lawn, and you pass by, you look with envy at the empty lot next to the vicar's car, the bishop's lot, right? You see there's a cone there, you see, which you can just take it away and park there. It's wasted, it's empty, you know, right? So, in fact, that's how politicians win, isn't it? Often they appeal to the voters' interests. Very myopic interests when you think about it. But it's very ugly and very selfish. We appeal to each other's self-interest to win something. So a person who's grumbling like this is only thinking about his own interests. And the word disputing, sometimes you can also use the word questioning, right? It refers perhaps to some inwardly thought processes. In the minds of grumbling is something you can hear, but also questioning within you as you go through this world. To summarize, without carping, self-centered criticisms of any sort, whether spoken or silent. It's very interesting that St. Paul wants to go into this world to do all things with innocence in our hearts and purity of speech. It's so easy to ignore the speck in our own eyes, the log in our own eyes, and notice a speck in somebody's eyes, right? It's so easy to be critical of the government, so easy to be critical of your own members of your own family, your colleagues in office, so easy sometimes even to be critical of the church. But here, St. Paul says, without grumbling or disputing. And he talks about being blameless and innocent. To live our lives in such a way that others will not have a just cause to criticize us. Very difficult in the day and age with the social media, the glare of publicity. I personally feel, I'm not sure how some of our Korean brothers and sisters, how they are feeling towards the impeachment of their president, right? We feel and we wonder, wow, you know, one mistake and that's it, you see. But when you hold public office, you have to not give a just cause for others to criticize you and to impeach you, right? So it's a very difficult place to be in, but to be blameless so that others will not have a cause to criticize you. And St. Paul moved on to use the word without blemish. Very often this word is used in regards to God, in the sight of God, without blemish. Not just in the sight of men, but in the sight of God. A tall but powerful calling indeed. And for us to shine like stars, in other words, Bible version use the word like stars in the universe. And light is a beautiful illustration of something that does what it has to do simply by being. Naturally, right? A light just shines. And we are so told to hold fast in the midst of course, of changing values all the time in the world around us. To hold fast to the words of life. Not to the words of the world, but to hold fast to the words of life. Brothers and sisters, we're called to be salt and light in this world by being, not by pointing, but by being. Now, having said that, sometimes we do have social responsibilities in a very interconnected world that we live today. So I'm going to read to you something that came to me last night over WhatsApp from the bishop's office. Let me just take some time to get it. I'll read to you. Now, we live in a crooked and depraved world. The word crooked means to be warped in our views of reality, right? To be depraved means to be distorted in our sense of values, to lose our sensibility, what is right and wrong. And so, in this context, let me read to you, to all local clergy and deaconesses, urgent notice from Bishop Rennies for this Sunday regarding the gay agenda in Disney's Beauty and Beast. This free publicity for the film, you know. That's why they come out all these controversies. Anyway, I'm just doing my part, yeah. It's needful that you alert your congregation about the homosexual content in Disney's remake of Beauty and the Beast, a film scheduled for screening during the March school holidays for children and family. Disney films for children and entertainment are usually associated with wholesome and mainstream values, but times are changing at a foundational level. In this new live-action remake of the classic film, the character Li Fu, is portrayed as gay, and a gay moment is included in the movie by way of subplot. Parents are therefore strongly advised to provide guidance to the children about this remake of Beauty and the Beast, and indeed to the children's entertainment choice in the rapidly changing age. Let's pursue Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up your child the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. The Diocese and National Council of Churches are working on a fuller advisory to our members in the coming week. I want you to know, there are many films out there with a gay agenda, right? And the church or the National Council just have not said anything. Will not want or see its duty to say something. But when something is meant to be for family entertainment, when the agenda is very clear to influence the minds of the children and to change the values of a generation, then the church, I think, need to stand up to the responsibility to speak out. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know in the context of this passage, we are speaking out, not in judgment, but in protection, protect the flock. Not in pointing, because we know ultimately it's not about what we say to the world, but how we live our lives. And St. Paul here said, in verse 17, in verse 16, towards the end of verse 16, that I may be proud, so that in the day of Christ, judgment day, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. In other words, we live our life in such a way that those who have invested in us can be proud of us. You know, yesterday we had an amazing experience. You know, the Anglican, one of the best courses in the cathedral. Well, there are many good courses in the cathedral, but some of you may look at Anglicanism course and say, well, what a boring course, right? So, but yeah, it has been a very exciting time, those who were at the Anglicanism course. And yesterday, we went through the history of the Diocese of Singapore, sweeping panoramic view. What God has done is amazing. Think about those who have invested, the bishops before us, the deans, the vicars. And we were just on the vicars of the cathedral. I think, wow, I've taken on the baton now, you know. Who have sacrificed, who have invested, paid a heavy price, especially during the Japanese war, yeah, during the Second World War, and of course, Bishop Chubanit, what he went through. And last Friday, we had a memorial service and recounting what God has done. This cathedral is an amazing place, a cross-section of what God has done, streams of what God has done politically, socially, and spiritually. Cathedral, the Lord has used cathedral in amazing ways in the past, and I believe He will continue to do that. And this sense of the pioneers have come before us, now in our hands, He has placed this responsibility. And I was just so encouraged and in awe of those who have come before us, and now they pray for us. As you know, Bishop Chu passed away last November. He joined those up in heaven, witnessing, cheering us on, praying for us, that we too may fulfill our responsibilities to the world. Responsibilities to yourself, responsibilities to society, and responsibilities to those in the church. So verse 19, St. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him. Amazing statement. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests. I'm not sure who St. Paul is referring to when he said they all. Not those of Jesus Christ, but you know Timothy's proven worth. How, as a son with a father, he served with me in the gospel. Someone who is genuinely concerned for your welfare. Harking back to the early part of this chapter, someone who is genuinely interested, not in his own interest, but in your interest, to place the interests of others above himself. Very important message that the modern church needs to hear. Very important here in this vast congregation of 14 services, different languages, 4,000 plus gathered every weekend, that we know for certainty that someone is genuinely concerned for our welfare. And this is what the church is supposed to be. But sadly, St. Paul said, few are like him. But brothers and sisters, this makes the church strong. If we are genuinely concerned for each other's welfare, you may say, it's difficult, Pastor. There's so many of us. Yes, that's why we have connect groups. That's the reason why we want your information. I mean, you know that, we are collecting data, updating our database, seriously out of date, seriously as in 10, 20 years. When I saw I took out the green form because I want to get to know some members of the church. Some of your photos were taken 30 years ago. Is this Eric? Is this Eric? You know, right? Because we're not updated, you see, our data. Now, so it's very hard as a church for us to offer pastoral care if you do not even know where our members are. Right? We count on members because members count. Every person is important. Every regular worshipper is important. And so this is part of our desire to bring care and love to every person. And we have members of the cathedral who have dropped out of church because of physical condition. Like no one can come to church and no one knows. And they're embarrassed to inform somebody and no one knows. We have no idea where the person is. And so, brothers and sisters, it's about showing genuine care. And I love how St. Paul moved on to talk about father and son. May there be more father and son's relationships in St. Andrew's Cathedral. I can still recall as a parish worker when I first wear the cassock. Even the first parish I was serving in, first time wearing cassock, and there were Anglicans from all around the world visiting the parish then because they came through some Bible school. And someone would come up to me and they would say, Father, I was very young then. I was a bit confused because I was dressed actually more like a mother, you know, cassock, right? Yeah, so it came to me and said, Father, I wasn't even married then, you know. And I have a lot of confusion went through in my mind. Why are you calling me Father? Then, of course, as I grow in ministry, I realize the Father is a very precious word. And sometimes you call a bishop Father in God. That's also become very strong and good tradition to understand that phrase, right? It's a reminder that a pastor is a father, you see. And a father cares or should be caring, right, for the interests of his children. And here, Paul talks very fondly as he's incarcerated in prison. I can trust in Timothy. He's like a son to me. If he goes, it's like my as if I'm there because I trust in him because he genuinely cares for your welfare. And that's my prayer for St. Andrew's Cathedral. Of course, I'm preparing this message for the 11:30 service. We are having our grand opening next Sunday, 19th of March. And Reverend Miles Tubin is coming. Those from Holy Trinity, Bukit Bintang, KL. This service was started in relationship, in partnership with them. Right? So it's great to have Miles Tubin coming. But I was preparing this sermon for 11:30 service because I believe what will make 11:30 service strong, it's not just good music. We heard some of that this morning. It's not just about dynamic music. It's not just about dynamic preaching. It is if there's real love and care. That's what young adults are looking for this day and age. Not looking for likes. They can go to disco. They can go to St. James Power Station, right? Not St. James Church, but St. James Power Station. You don't look for that. But in the church, it's one genuinely care for their welfare. Not only will they stay, but they will grow, and they will serve, and cathedral will have a future. So to pray for this service. Pray for the service. Pray that there will be a new community, a young community, where there's strong mutual love and care. Where it's genuine, not hypocritical, but real. May the young people of the cathedral be strong, because their fathers, spiritual fathers around. So will you be responsible to yourself? Will we be responsible to the world? Will we take up the responsibility to care for each other? So come, Holy Spirit, as we reminded again what it means to be a church. In all its basic simplicity, what it means to be a church, more than just a service, a church that we are where we are because what Christ has done for us. Did how great suffering on the cross to count the cost that he has gone through, as we sung earlier on. That we may, having secured this freedom, Lord, be responsible. Thank you. Why don't we stand? leave the worship team and prepare the song. Let's just respond in worship to God's word this morning.